Hi everyone. Welcome to another discussion on empowering women be heard. I like to keep this various topics, some light, some heavy. So today our guest, do you go by Elizabeth or Liz?
Liz.
Okay. Liz Enten, very interesting woman with a lot of interesting stories, I'm sure. We can't cover all of them today, but we'll talk about some of the things. So Liz has gone down the rabbit hole a little bit, researching afterlife evidence, because she is a skeptical atheist who thinks maybe there is some evidence of an afterlife. And I'm kind of on the same page with you, Liz. I will tell you that. And she has written a book. And what's the name of your book? The
It's
one that's
called WTF Just Happened, A Sciencey Skeptic Explores Grief, Healing, and Evidence of an Afterlife.
There you go. That's a big title. Is it
Yeah.
on Amazon?
It is. It's on Amazon, and recently, actually, it's now everywhere. Barnes and Noble, independent shops, so you can
Wonderful.
kind of get
That's
it where
great.
you want.
I will. You've had some experiences, but before we get into that, I'm going to go totally off topic because you've had sort of an interesting occurrence with Harvey Weinstein.
Oh God, I didn't mean to laugh. Yes,
Yeah,
I
no,
shouldn't
you can
laugh.
laugh.
Sorry.
Because I'm just loving, like, I'm loving and hating the fact that it's all coming out about how despicable and evil men can be. And at the same time, it keeps happening. And, it just keeps going. But you were roommates with one of his accusers, Mimi Haley, is
Yes.
that her last name?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You played a crucial role because you were a witness. And you testified in 2006, I believe, and you let them know that Haley had confided in you about being sexually assaulted by this man, if you can call him that. And you provided valuable corroboration for her allegations, which formed, a big part of the case against him. And tell us about that. That sounds very scary, interesting, exciting, all in one.
Sure. So I'm not going to talk about her st story at
No.
all because I don't think that's my place, but I'll
You.
tell mine. Being her roommate and knowing this story, they called me in to testify. I mean, I never in a million years I think this was going to happen. Actually, it was kind of almost funny. The first phone call I got was the day after I was released from jury duty, and I come to a message from an unknown number to called the Manhattan District Attorney's office. I mean, I had a heart attack. I was like, I must have misunderstood and I'm supposed to be there. So it just was kind of the start of how the whole
My gosh.
testimony went. So, it was just like starting to meet with the lawyers more and more frequently until they finally said I was going to be one of the testifiers. And, then during the testimony, I guess two things that came out that kind of went viral. At one point, my Chihuahua Peanut had chased Harvey and he ran away in fear and was saying, I
Oh
wasn't there. My friend told me later that he said about my little 12-pound, very cuddly, exceptionally sweet dog Peanut, who was chasing him. He said, "What is this thing? Get it away from me." And he was running in circles. So that ended up going viral. Apparently, as he was leaving the courtroom, I did not know this till later. The press asked him, "Excuse me, Mr. Weinstein, are you afraid of chihuahuas?" And next thing you know, all over the media,
Beans
Harvey
and everything.
Weinstein. Oh my God, yes, like articles across
No.
the globe. Like they did an article called Rough
Yes.
Justice, spelled RUFF. They were like, was Harvey Weinstein afraid of a little chihuahua called Peanut? Harvey Weinstein might have been one of the most powerful men, but he was no match for Peanut the Chihuahua. Just like every absurd article, photos
Hysterical.
of her everywhere. I was just like, how did
Hysterical.
this happen?
That is
So,
so funny. I love
yeah,
that. I love
that's
that.
kind of why the laughter. And then
And
apparently, like,
just how his
How's
name
that?
is doing these days.
She's
Like,
doing really well. I think she's happy with the outcome. I don't want to speak for her,
no, I
but
don't
yeah,
need
I
to.
mean, it was a very fair outcome, which doesn't often happen. And so
Yes.
I think she's very thankful that justice
Many,
was served.
many, many women, as we found out with the speaking up of women finally, that there's many of us that have been either raped or sexually assaulted or intimidated. I was a victim of attempted rape when I was like 19, 20 years old, and there was physical violence involved, and just by my thinking and circumstances, I was able to get away without being raped. But the trauma of it is still just as bad because
I'm
it's about
sure.
power. And you know, that's why they do it. It's nothing to do with sex. It's about power, my
Oh,
opinion.
completely. I mean, yeah, I have Harvey Weinstein from the stories I heard, just pure
Yeah.
evil. I mean, I can't, of
No.
course it's not about sex. Why would you wanna, anyone who
Exactly.
just wants sex, why would they want to hurt a human to that
Exactly.
extent? There's something seriously wrong, and
Yes.
yeah.
And there's a lot of, I call it toxic masculinity out there. I had been married to a very damaged person. I loved him very much, but, and I didn't know about this because it was in the 70s and 80s, but I believe he had a sex addiction. And so cheating and cheating and cheating. And, you know, looking back on it and putting it all together, it's in my book. My book is my first one. It's called Raised by Wolves, Trapped by Demons. And the parents were the wolves, and the men in my life were the demons. Okay. But it's a, some of them are just very sick. Some of them are doing it, like you said, for power. We're not going to talk, give them any more power because we're going to talk about something else today. We're going to talk about the afterlife and whether there's any evidence that it might exist. And I really have a feeling it does, and I have a lot of stories on that. But tell me where your journey is with that. What have you found out so far?
I think it's a high probability, and I can't, I'm pretty convinced that, which to me is just astounding. I mean, when I started, I thought there was close to zero chance. It started because my dad passed away in 2015, which my family was very close. I'm an only child, so it was kind of like always me and my parents. And I took just a complete shot in the dark. My very first thought was, well, science fiction tends to come true. If you look at old sci-fi movies, you know, they have things that could be comparable. You know, the design might be a little different, but conceptually comparable to iPhones and us on Zoom now, and so much of it comes
Driverless
true.
cars, like things that, yeah, I get what you're saying. So you thought maybe.
Well, my very first thought was one of the main things that you see in science fiction is time travel. Is there any possibility of time travel? And it, you know, if it's going on, we also might not know it. You know, if we're officially time traveling and jumping back 10 years, it means our
Yeah.
memories are erased. We don't really understand how time works. So, in kind of that deep grief, desperation while my dad was in hospice and just sort of the shock, you know, grasping for straws, grasping for anything, I started reading about time travel. And just, I was amazed because yes, time travel is possible. It's not practical, but you know, you'd have to essentially, and it doesn't work ideally as, I mean, at least as far as they've understood now, how you'd want, but essentially time is not linear the way we think. For example, Einstein talked about something called the twin experiment. I'm going to have the numbers wrong, but the concept, right? Where if you were to build a rocket ship that could travel close to the speed of light, and which is we can't do yet, but let's say we could, and you put one twin on it and they traveled for 5 years, and 5 years passed, they aged 5 years, 20 years would pass on Earth. And I was just like, this is completely different to how we experience time. And if time, something that's so unquestionable in a way, at least in our conscious experience, if it's so different than what we think, what else could there be? And then that's where I had my very first thought that opened up my learning about an afterlife. I thought, well, if the neurons of our brain create an experience of consciousness of a me, and if you think of, you know, the amount of Goldilocks planets in the universe that can sustain complex life, and you think of eternal big bangs and big crunches, the odds are that, again, another set of brain neurons will experience a set a consciousness that I'll get to be, maybe not as Liz, but as somebody, which is better than total obliteration. And
Right.
that's when everything changed. Because I Googled, because actually the very next thought was, if that happened, is there some weird way some of the memories were stored and transferred over? Googled
Exactly.
that, and that's where everything changed, because that's where I found all the research on these topics.
Well, the thing with me, I was raised Catholic and I came away from that. I was very Catholic until I got divorced from my first husband, and we had been married in the Catholic Church, and they excommunicated me and said, you can't receive communion. And I thought, I'm not the one that cheated. I'm not the one that did things wrong. So that kind of put a big space between me and the Catholic Church. And it was many, many, many years later that I started to find out about the quantum physics, religion, connection, and science, the science of religion. And not so much religion, but spirituality. Let me correct that. Not religion, spirituality. So I started to have a lot of experiences where I felt like the soul survives the body. Okay, like, but my father died a few years ago, and we had a not a good relationship at first because he was an alcoholic. But before he died, he got sober and he made amends, and we had a good relationship. So I was sad to lose him after finally getting him back.
Right.
And I came home from the funeral and I laid down on my bed, and my husband was in the other room, and I felt someone sit on the bed and a little breeze and just the sensation of peace. That was my father. And to me, those little things, people don't notice it, but I think that's the way they kind of communicate. They send you things, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you
Yeah.
start to hear stories like that left and right once I started studying this. I mean, just more than I could have ever fathomed. So I'm like,
Yeah.
something's going on.
And now I think I'm really leaning towards the Buddhist religion because I like their take on it, which is that you keep coming back to get it right.
Yeah. Well, that seems to be what happens, because that's what I found when I researched. I found not a religion, but I found a division at the University of Virginia called Division of Perceptual Studies. And the first researchers I found were the late Dr. Ian Stevenson and his protege, Dr. Jim Tucker. And they study cases of kids with past life memories. They're child psychiatrists, very data-driven, not taking a spiritual approach. And they were investigating reports of kids with past life memories and verifying them. And Dr. Stevenson had been doing it from the 70s, I guess, through the early 2000s. And then he passed away, and Dr. Tucker took it over. And they use database protocols to verify these memories under controls. And they have both ended up convinced that
Oh, I think so too.
people live multiple lives, which
I
is just, I'm
think
like, these are researchers. This is science.
that's it. Like the Buddhists have things like karma and nirvana and all these ideas. But when you put it all together, for me, like people that read my first book, they might not have known me then, they just know me now because I moved to Florida 20 years ago. And they are amazed. They're like, how can you be this person? You should be a bitter old woman with everything that happened to you. See, but I think I really believe that it's like a learning experience, and it's how you handle it and how you get through it and how you help others. That's a big thing. So the book is going to help other women maybe that are in domestic violence situations or something say, oh, she got out of that. She got away from all that horror. Well, then I can too. But that's why I think if you're feeling like, why do I have such a shitty life? Okay, maybe it's not your first one. It's like maybe the last one was worse. And this, it's getting better. Who knows? Who knows? But it's just one way of thinking about it. So what how about psychics? What do you think? What's your opinion of psychics and mediums?
Well, I actually have come to think it's real. In fact, psychics and mediums are different. Psychics is like reading, the probabilities of future outcomes and reading someone's mind and predicting. And they've done laboratory tests where some will, predict what card is going to be pulled, all the way to, mind reading. And mediumship is when they communicate with what, we call, what I call, sorry, discarnate consciousness, like people who've passed away
Passed away.
and or animals. And I've come to think it's true. So again, University of Virginia, Division of Perceptual Studies, there are researchers studying mediums. There is also Dr. Julie Beischel, excuse me, and Mark Bacuzzi, who are co-founders of the Winbridge Institute, and they are database scientific researchers. Dr. Beischel was a pharmacologist, and they study mediums under tight controls to assure they can't cheat, they can't do cold reading, do hot reading, which would be like Googling someone. And these mediums are getting up to 90% accuracy, which is just inexplicable by normal means. And then also, there's another group I've helped with, which has a lot of researchers on the board, called the Forever Family Foundation. And they use strict protocols, also eliminating cheating, to certify mediums. And again, mediums are getting between 60% to 90% correct, which is just inexplicable. Not most mediums, but a portion of them.
But now I can't think of her name now. Is it Mary Jo, the woman in New Jersey that's a medium? She's real big blonde hair, like she's from the 60s. She is so good. She
Oh,
was
is that Teresa Caputo with the big blonde
yes,
hair? Yeah, Long
Teresa.
Island.
What do you think of her? Do you think she's on the legit?
I do. I don't know her. I've never met her, but she was certified for a while by Forever Family Foundation before she got famous. She passed all the testing protocols. So from what I heard, she's legit. But again, I don't know about where she's at right now with her work, but
I'd love to have a sitting with her because she was on The View last week. And it was Sunny Hostin, and I forget who the other person was, but two of the hosts that are on there. And they did the readings with her. I don't know. Do you call it a reading? I don't know. Sitting.
reading, yeah, reading, sitting,
And
either.
they told her things that there was no way she could Google, that it was something from their childhood that happened, and it was very specific. And they're journalists, and they're not easily fooled. And they were crying. They were crying. So I've seen her do readings, and yeah, I think she's the real deal. She's the real deal.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I mean, when she passed her testing with Forever Family, that was way before my time there, but I heard she was highly accurate. And again, all protocols, controls, and then mediums aren't only supposed to get accurate to pass, they have to get specific. Like, I could sit and give an accurate reading right now to anybody. And like, you have four, at least four great grandparents on the other side. I'm getting your great grandmother like baked a lot in the
Yeah, of
day. Well,
course.
I mean, so anyone could do accurate in a way, so it has to be
Estimates.
specific, not
Yeah,
just
pretty big
general.
guesses. Yeah, I got you. Well, so there's so many things. I mean, we don't know. We have no clue. I don't think if you're the smartest scientist in the world, how life really began. There's no way. I mean, I had a woman on the show the one time talking about we are all star seeds that we come from. And I listen, I don't
I
know,
don't know.
that the seeds from the stars came down and out of them came each person.
Interesting.
Maybe. There's so many theories. Some of them are a little off the wall and some of them are quite believable, but we don't know. How would we know? We don't know. But it's fun to explore it. And so you are still an atheist?
I am. I guess I like the word evidentialist. I have not seen evidence of a god or a single creator or anything that verifies any organized religion. And yeah, I mean, could yeah, I haven't seen anything that gives me evidence of a god. Just, maybe different levels of higher consciousness, but that doesn't mean one singular God. That doesn't mean all of us aren't evolving towards that. I don't know. Maybe we are, maybe we aren't. So,
Well, if there is a God, I don't like him too much because he lets all these horrible things happen. Like, I'm sorry, but it's hard to believe in something, some thing, some spiritual being, that all this chaos in the world today would just continue for whatever
Agree.
reason. Why wouldn't he intervene? It's amazing. But
I agree.
I don't think I'm an atheist. I'm more agnostic. Like,
Yeah,
I doubt very much that there's a big guy in the sky. I doubt that very much. Okay. But I think there's other things that might be at play. So what's the worst? You've had mediums, you have readings, right?
I've had a lot of readings,
Okay.
yes,
Tell me about
many.
your worst one. The worst one you
There's
ever.
two worst, there's three worst ones,
Well,
and
give
I'll give little
me
bits of all of
your
them. One, I knew was going to be bad. It was for research, or I thought most likely. Sometimes you can be surprised, but it was one of those storefront ones where they're like $5 palm readings, and it was just very clearly. Let's give here's an example of a cold reading technique. They'll say two different things in the reading, and one is going to apply to you, and they spread them out. So when you leave, you remember the good one. And, if you tend to believe this, she said, you're really good with money, you're good at investing and saving. And then about 10 minutes later, she's like, money comes in one hand and out the other. So emotionally, again, if you believe this, what she says is going to resonate with you. And then in the end, this is the closing, and run if this happens, unless you're a journalist. In the end, she was like, I feel like, first of all, she was like, you should be married by now. I feel you're not because you were with this guy and it didn't work. I mean, basically, exactly the process happens to everybody until you get married. You date people and it doesn't work, so you don't marry them. And, she put a lot of fillers in that would just apply to 100% of breakups, pretty much. And then she was like, I think you're not married because you have so much like bad energy and trauma from around your breakup. You need a candle to clear the energy. First, she said a crystal, and then I was like, oh, I have a crystal. And then she said, well, candle, and I have them for $300. So run, run. I was like, oh, sure. Like I said, yes, because I wanted, to keep it to the end to see how far she'd go, because I knew I was writing about it. And then, I was like, I'll come back next week and get it. Of course, I didn't. I wrote all the notes from the reading. That was one of the two worst, one of the three worst. The other two, I thought she might be real, and it was really sad because it was my second reading, so I was very, very vulnerable and in early grief. And she was like, what do you want out of this reading? I paid for a medium reading, which means connecting to the other side. And she's like, but do you have questions? What do you want to get out of it? I was like, I want valid evidence we survived bodily death. She gave no information that was valid, just cliches, cliches. She kept saying, do you have any questions? I was like, again, scientific, again, evidence, valid evidence. And she was like, well, it's not my job to prove it to you. And I had to tell her it was my dad I lost. And then in the end, she was like, isn't this interesting? His whole message to you is to trust more. And the whole point of this reading, you came to me, you thought it was for proof, but it's really about you learning to prove it to yourself. I'm like, no, that's your job. I was polite. I listened. I expected to find frauds in this. Actually, she was my third reading, not my second. And she was just, I mean, it was just nonsense. It's a great story now. And then the last one, I went to a seance and it was hilarious. I mean, it was sad because he was deceiving people, but it was pure stage magic. It was ridiculous. So,
Stage magic, exactly. And you
yeah.
went into this with sort of an open mind because you would like to believe that there is life after death, and that maybe there's some kind of a transition where your father has another embodiment, or he's someplace good, or something, some evidence.
Yeah.
It's just not over. I think that's what you did. And then first three you went to.
No, the first one was amazing.
Oh, you did
This
go.
amazing. The second one, she got a few things right. Wasn't great. I sense know people who know her and they say she's lovely person, just not evidential. The third one was fake. And then I got more that were amazing,
So
and then I
another
was reading
person,
the data and research, and the ones who were not good were not certified by any of the research groups.
gotcha. I
So,
didn't even know about the certification. I didn't even know that you could be certified or not certified. So
it was finding.
the first one you went to, was she certified?
No, I was on a wait list for the first certified one I found, and it was a really long wait list. But I mean, I end up her wait list is just astronomical. Oddly, I'm still on it and I've become friends with her. I mean, it's this whole thing. But
She must be
in the
good.
meantime, I sh what?
She must be good if she has such a
She's
long.
She's amazing. Amazing. I mean, I've seen her give group readings and I've had her, like, she'll give me little tidbits just like when we're hanging out. But, I'm like, one day I'll get her,
So,
but
now your father's dead. Is your mother alive?
she is. We're very close. Yeah.
And
And then,
was she
oh,
married
sorry.
to your father when he died? Okay,
She
so
was. Yes.
so
So.
how have you been coping with the grief of losing your father?
Oof. So it's a daily process. I mean, I think there's a big misconception that you grieve and you're done. And a big misconception that you grieve period of time, the appropriate grieving time, which is just absurd. Some people give you like 2 weeks, some a year, and then you're just supposed to get back to your life. But I feel my old life didn't work. My old business didn't work. I changed. And I think, I've dealt with it in multiple ways, from getting all this evidence of an afterlife. That was something I thought there was zero possibility of. I got very involved in the grief community through this group because through these different groups, because hey, you go to the events, there's researchers, there's different types of people who are very like into spiritual just for the experiences of it, and there are a lot of grievers, and so you get to have a community. And the allowing myself to be honest about my feelings, because again, there was so much pressure in society that this is what you should do, you shouldn't do that. And I'm just saying, and I also want to add to what I'm saying, because again, this is a mistake I think a lot of people make, is I'm just sharing what works for me. Something completely different might work for someone else. So I think it's being really honest with yourself and not thinking there's the right or wrong way, because there's a lot of messages that you should do this, you shouldn't do that. And no one knows. It's a person, only you know what you need to do.
And getting over that, grief that alongside trauma, any kind of trauma,
Any trauma.
there's no timeline. And I had an experience of going into depression with 2020. And I sought some counseling, and she had me writing, and that's how my book came up.
Amazing.
But
Sounds like great counseling, but
she is. But now, in the last 4 years, I've written three books and I have a podcast. I'm 75 years old. That was not in the cards. Right?
for you. Wow.
I mean, that was just, and then just recently, I found out that there was this boy, teenage boy, a friend of my grandson, 16 years old, who read my book and follows me on Instagram. It's like,
I love that.
what?
Oh, that's so inspiring.
Is. So, you never know what path you're gonna take, even at this age. It's like things change, but it has to do with what you need in your life to deal with past trauma, maybe things presently you're going through. And for you found something that you're deeply interested in, and it's very worthwhile, to do
Yes.
this. So you told me there's scientific studies and research being done on afterlife and mediums and all this stuff.
Yes.
Tell me the name of the university, or where you said it several times. Or,
Oh, I mean, there's multiple, but the first one I found is the University of Virginia Division of Perceptual Studies. They do all sorts of research into afterlife. There's also the Winbridge Institute, who scientifically certify psychic mediums. There's the Forever, or scientifically research, sorry, they certify in research. The Forever Family Foundation that certifies mediums. They focus on grief, but they have a science validation bend, and they have a lot of scientific members or scientific advisory board members.
That's great to know that
Those are
that's.
just a few of many. I mean, it's just crazy when you start digging in. There's the Ryan Education Center. It's just the Ryan. They have the research center and the education center. I mean, it's just once you kind of uncover one of them, you start finding all, because there's a lot, but also in the big picture, there aren't a lot. It's a, you've so you find one, you find the others.
Yes. But that's it. You found something that is definitely for you. This definitely is something you're interested in. And you're a very interesting person because you
Thank you.
also, well, you also have another area of your life, which we'll save for the next one. I have to have you on again because there's so much. And it's called Why Get Wasted. So tell me quickly what that is.
That is about we help events be sustainable and go low waste and reduce single use, reduce plastic, be ethical in terms of food choices and other choices. I mean, I always will work with every event producers to see to what extent they want to go. If you just want to go 2%, that's wonderful. I think that's a mistake Zero Waste makes, where it's like 100% or don't do it or you're in the wrong. There's none of that. Like, if you just want to do 2%, that makes a huge difference. If everybody did 2%, I mean, if you do 100%, great, but zero pressure. Do whatever. And so
Whatever,
I'll.
yeah, we recycle, and it's not that hard to do, we try to. I'm great at reusing and repurposing. That's one of my tips, which
You're
is
into that too. Yeah,
that's
it's so important. There's
actually
no point
yeah.
in having
So
single use, I think.
what can I use this for? Instead of throwing it in the garbage immediately, what can I use this for? And that cuts down on waste right there. So before we run out of time, now, as you said your book at the beginning, I want you to say it one more time because it's a very long title.
Sure. Well, the title, it's a title and tagline. It's the WTF series, because I have a second one coming out in about a month and a half too. So the book is WTF Just Happened. That's the second one too. It's book one, WTF Just Happened. Book two, WTF Just Happened is coming out. So book one, WTF Just Happened, tagline, a science-y skeptic explores grief, healing, and evidence of an afterlife. And book two is also WTF Just Happened, a science-y skeptic investigates even for evidence of an afterlife and fights for justice with her dead dog. So I do go into the Harvey trial too.
Did your
So
chihuahua die? Did our little boy
she
die? Was
did,
she?
girl. Yeah. She died a few years back.
I have
So.
three daughters that all have dogs. They're big dog lovers, and two of them have chihuahuas. They were
Oh, that's
people.
amazing. Yeah.
But I've been around a lot of their little pets, and they're in fact, my one daughter has a service dog, and it's
Oh,
hard to
good.
keep him in the role though because he's so cute. You really mess
Aw,
with stuff,
yeah.
but I can't help myself, and I ask permission. Can I throw the ball?
Yeah, they're
No,
still a dog. They
I
do their job, but they must have time off like anyone else where they get to
know. Yeah,
play and get belly rubs
but
and,
the trainers are very strict. The people that train them, they're very strict about that stuff. But who's gonna? You can't be that strict if you're the owner. But
Right.
I'm talking to you. So
You too.
let's And you have a website? Do you have a
I
website?
do. I also have a podcast too, and you can
Oh,
find all
tell
that
me.
on the website.
All right.
The
What?
podcast is also WTF Just Happened, all about the afterlife, no woo. And you can
Okay.
find it all through my website, which is WTFjustHappened.net.
What the F? Yeah, I get what
What
it
the
is.
F? Yes,
It's
I don't know if I'm
like,
allowed to say it on your podcast or not, so I'm being
I
careful.
wouldn't care, but it might be,
Yeah.
the Trade Commission or whoever oversees this. But yeah, it's funny the words you can't say. Somebody else I know had a book, and it was what it's something it had the word shit, I'm just gonna say, and they had to put SH asterisk T or something.
Yeah.
Like,
I've
really?
seen that done.
I
I
know.
say it on my podcast, but like I understand. I mean, I do have to mark that it's explicit, and who knows, maybe it blocks it somewhere, or,
Well,
I have no
listen.
idea.
If you have a spot sometime, I'll come on yours because I'm sure I could talk about a lot of near life, near death experiences that
Oh,
I've had.
we'll have to talk because as of now, the main people I'm interviewing are researchers and professionals, but I'm adding a section soon that where it's going to be, people, I think a lot more just like little short clips of people sharing personal experiences. So we'll
Well,
have to talk about that. But yeah, it's coming soon because I'm a one woman show. So things don't necessarily always go as fast as I would like, but
yeah,
it's coming.
no, you're like me. You got to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to learn that, but
I'm a New Yorker. I don't know if, I mean, I spent some time in LA. That's where, like, I guess my slow, things have to
starting to
slow a
creep
little,
in,
but
right? Well, you got to work on it. You're still too
yeah.
new. All right, Liz, it was wonderful talking to you, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners enjoyed it and would like to visit your website and read your book. And I'm going to have you on again in the future, and we'll talk about environmental waste and helping the planet. So thank you so
Thank you.
much.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate you having me on and such a fun, engaging, interesting conversation with you. I really appreciate it.
It was fun. We talked about a lot of
Yeah.
things. All right. Have a great
Yes.
day. And for my
You too.
listeners, now when you see a butterfly or just little things, take notice of them because you never know. Somebody might be trying to communicate with you. So just pay attention to your surroundings, be mindful, and be good to yourself. Bye now.